Well, good morning again, and it's good to come and share with you from this passage in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, it would be worth keeping them open at that point. We'll refer back to the passage to see some of the teaching and try and draw out some of the teaching that Paul has written all those years ago. But of course, teaching that has been held by the Holy Spirit and kept relevant and pertinent throughout the age in the gospel and the canon of scripture that we have before us. So we know that we are reading and listening and learning from God's word to us this morning. Now the topic, as Alistair mentioned, is belonging to church. Belonging to church. Now to belong is an interesting word, isn't it? Belong. I guess belong means more than just coming. It means something deeper than that. Belong brings with it something of the idea of commitment, maybe, of acceptance, of inclusion, of identity, being able to identify with something. That, to me, seems to be what belonging brings with it. And as we read the words that Paul wrote about the church, both locally and globally, we get a sense there that he is talking about belonging in this way. And also, he's talking about how we as Christians together can encourage people and help people to feel they belong in the church. And again, as a definition of church, I'd go exactly with what Alistair said earlier. When Paul is writing, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, the local church there. It would be like today he would be emailing the Christians at Duncan Road Chapel so that you could get some of Paul's teaching, or maybe the Christians in the Fareham area. This is kind of where we are. And so he's writing to them and reaching out to them with this message. But of course, he's also, as we read it, talking about the wider aspects of the Christian church as well. And hence, he uses the metaphor, the body of Christ, as he refers to believers throughout the world and down the generations who are all a part of this Christian body. And one day we'll all be united together in heaven with our Lord and our Savior, something we are truly, truly, I'm sure, looking forward to. So that's what it means, I think, to belong to a church, to be accepted, to be included, to be a part of something, to want to be a part of it, to want to do things and help promote and help people want to join. These are all wiped up or wrapped up in that term, belonging. And being part of a group of Christians who are joined by a wonderful common bond, united by the Holy Spirit, joined in Jesus, in his love for us and all that he's done for us, to be united together in him is a wonderful, a truly wonderful thing. And Paul gets to this in verse 3. If you look quickly at verse 3 again, that's what Paul is telling us. This common bond of the Holy Spirit because of the peace we have with God is the thing that brings us together as a church and unites us and causes us to belong together in Christ. This is what Paul is teaching here. And we call it, rather than belonging, nowadays we tend to call it being a member of the church. But it's the same thing. Church members, we call them. People who are Christians, which is the ultimate entry point into the Christ, into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are Christians and that we have been pulled, and then we join together as local churches and church members. Now, the term church member, as far as I can see, isn't actually used in the New Testament, but the concept of it is very clearly implied throughout, the concept of being a member of a church. If, for example, you looked at Romans 16 later today, you'd see there that Paul gives a whole list of people who he thanks or he mentions for prayer or he talks about, and in that list, He talks how they serve the local church, or how they link to the local church. Or in one instance, he asks a local church to accept a member who is coming in their direction, kind of like a referral, if you like. And that's just one of many examples through the New Testament and maintained into today's society, where we see this model of local churches and then ultimately the whole global church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these verses and many others, the Apostle Paul is pointing out that belonging to the Christian church involves a twofold process. Firstly, the moment we decide we want to give our lives to Jesus, that we want to say thank you to him for dying for our sins, and we want to ask him to just welcome us into his kingdom, to forgive us and make us right with God again. From the moment we do that and we become a follower of Jesus, we become a member of this worldwide church of all of his followers. Or as Paul put it metaphorically, we are united in the body of the Lord Jesus, with Jesus as the head of all. And that's how Paul describes it in verse 16 that we read earlier. So that's the first step to belonging in church, is to join by taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But then when you become a Christian, you want and you should want to be with like-minded people. And this is the second step. As a follower of the Lord Jesus, we need to find a good local fellowship of believers like this one here today in order that we can join and we can become an active and a committed member of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this area. And this is important for a number of reasons, that we join together with like-minded people, that we become members of a local church. And the Apostle Paul lists some of them in Ephesians 4, if we look through it. Paul says it's good to belong to church because belonging to church helps us grow and mature as Christians. We help each other. We teach each other things. We very delicately and carefully point out things that may not be right in order to help someone correct and in order to help us maybe become better people. So we should mature with like-minded people together. Paul talks about this in verses 12 and 13. And as well as this, we can help and encourage each other in our Christian walk. We all need encouragement from time to time. We all need someone to share with. We all need someone to share with us. Maybe something of God's word that can help us in a situation we're in. So being in a church, we encourage people and encourage each other in our Christian walk. Verse 12, Paul talks about that again. Belonging to a church, Paul says in verses 8 and verses 16, it enables us to find and develop the gifts that God has given us for his service. God places us into churches and into groups where our gifts complement each other. Again, like the poem Alistair read about the body and about different parts of the body helping in different ways. So the Lord Jesus has gifted everybody who comes to him with a gift that they can use in his service, a gift that we can use to share. But, you know, using that gift on its own and in isolation is going to be very, very limited, because the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit giving us gifts is that we combine together, and through all of our gifts, we reach out and we serve Jesus together. And in this church, you'll have many different people with different gifts. And as you pull them all together, your work to support and help each other and to reach out to others beyond this will grow and will grow. So belonging to church enables us to develop our gifts for God's service, Paul says. And then he says belonging to church can protect us, especially from things like false teaching, from worldly wisdom and advice that doesn't go with God's word. In verse 14, we see that. So we're not buffeted around like a ship in a storm, Paul says. We're with like-minded people giving us ballast when we need it and being ballast for others when we can't, when they need it as well. And so Paul says, belonging to church is going to help us protect us, help us grow in the knowledge of Christ, and then see where there's false error or teaching to deflect away from. And belonging to church helps us grow more and more, Paul says in verses 15 and 16, grow more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that is God's wish for all of us. Ultimately, that is what God wants for us all, that we grow more and more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's ultimate desire. And it is through churches and meeting with like-minded Christian people that these things happen, and that we can grow and we can help each other grow towards that aim. And then Paul also says that having a sense of belonging as we're a member of a church, having this sense of belonging and what it means, should help us to grow and to grow in our commitment both to God and to each other as well. Because we are together belonging in this group, and therefore we want to help and we want to serve each other. And you know, these are just some of the reasons the Bible gives to show us the importance of being an active member in the local church. Other things involve sharing the gospel with others, helping with local community work, reaching out to others. And I'm sure you can think of more if you do. But Paul says, in order that all this happens, we have to belong, have this sense of wanting to belong, and to be with each other and share with each other in the church. And because this is really important, that churches accurately portray the Lord Jesus, that we accurately portray God to others, and that church members act in a way that strengthens and supports the church and its members, because this is really important, Paul says, we need to be all focusing and aiming towards the same thing. And Paul says it's really important that we do this because it enables each other to mature in the faith, but it also presents to the world a unity that reflects the grace and the love of God to everybody. I think Paul says that in verse 3 when he talks about uniting together. And this is the key focus of the opening verses that we read from Ephesians 4 this morning, as the Apostle Paul challenges us. If you look through those verses, he challenges us to maintain the unity that is in the church, that exists because of the peace that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is verses 3 and 13 combined together. It's like the bread around the sandwich filling, that all Christians are united into the Lord Jesus, and therefore we have a responsibility to ensure that unity exists and survives. And Paul gives us some practical instruction on how we do this, beginning in verse 1, where he reminds us to, or urges us in my translation, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So as Christians, we've been called by God to be the Lord Jesus' representatives in this world. And so Paul is challenging us to live lives that are worthy of this calling, worthy of representing the Lord Jesus. And of course, this should also affect the way we relate to others. And so in verse 2, Paul gives us 5 virtues that should be prominent in our lives if we want to live a life that is worthy of the calling we have received. And all of these are to do with interpersonal relationships, if you look at them, the way we treat other people. Firstly, Paul writes in verse 2, we must exercise humility in all situations. Now, humility is all to do with the ego. It's all to do with pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. And pride can be a big cause of disharmony and disunity, both in life but also in the church as well. So Paul says to maintain unity in the church and to give others our respect, we need to recognize each other's God-given worth, and we humbly accept who we are and who they are. The Apostle Paul, then, talking about this, he wrote these words to the Philippi church. If you want to follow there, Philippians 2, verse 3, and in Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And so we're called to be humble in our attitude to others. And then Paul goes on to say we need to be gentle towards others. Now, gentleness describes the way people approach and treat each other. Gentleness stops problems happening, and it keeps problems from getting worse if they are there. In Proverbs, we read, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. So rather than seeking to put people down or to hurt people, we should be gentle towards them, wanting to build them up, wanting to encourage each other, wanting to encourage their Christian walk and their service. We want to make them feel wanted and appreciated as if they belong to the church, making them feel they belong with us. So secondly, Paul says, be gentle. Thirdly, Paul says we need to be patient with each other. And closely related to that, fourthly, to bear with one another. After all, none of us are going to be perfect this side of heaven, are we? So we need to bear with each other's faults as they bear with ours. Patience and tolerance, then, can help us accept each other, even when we're very different people. They enable us to accept that although we are united in the Lord Jesus, we're also different people with different gifts. And therefore, the body of Christ that we talked about is made up of many different and diverse people. And we need to recognize people like as that. And we gently treat them in humility and also patiently we exist with each other. And then Paul says the overriding emotion in the Christian life, which should pull all these other four qualities together, is love. As God loves us, so too should we seek to show love to each other. And these five qualities, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and love, they need to be practiced in our lives, in all of our lives, if our motivation is to maintain unity in the church, to bring glory to God, and to help others feel accepted and grow together as one body, then part of the entire body of the church of Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul goes on to teach in verses 3 to 6, where he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As we see in these verses, our unity as a group of believers, our belonging as a church is created by the Holy Spirit, but we are responsible for maintaining it on the earth. And we are responsible in this area of Fareham here for maintaining the unity in this church and this group of people. We each have that responsibility. We each share that responsibility. And we do this by showing each other humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and love. So we are each responsible for preserving this unity in the wider Christian community as well as in the church here. And we do this foremostly by remembering that we all belong to the Lord Jesus. There are no barriers, no divisions, no discrimination with him, and nor should there be ever in the church that calls it by his name. As we all belong to Jesus, we should all live in harmony together. After all, when we consider that we've been saved by the Lord Jesus through no ability of our own, but by God's good grace and his love and his mercy, then why would we dare treat anybody differently to the way Jesus has treated us? But unity in the church doesn't just happen. We have to work at it, Paul says. But instead of concentrating on our differences, Paul says, how about concentrating on the things that unite us, the things that we bond under? And then he gives us a list in verses 4 to 6. Paul says there's one body. In other words, we're all part of the same church. There aren't many bodies of Jesus being built that some are better than others. There is one body, and we are all a part of it. We are all equal in it, united under him. And there's one Spirit who unites us, the same Holy Spirit who drew us to him, and through him we get our salvation through Christ. We are all called and united by the same Holy Spirit, so we have that in common. There is one hope for us. Christians all have the same promise of the future, eternal life with God. There is not one level of hope for some and another level for others. We are all together in this, and the hope we have of eternal life is for everybody. There is one Lord. We are all equally loved and united by the Lord Jesus, to whom we all belong, to whom we serve. And there's one faith, Paul says. We share a common set of beliefs, a commitment to the Lord Jesus and belief in him. There's one baptism. We're baptized into Jesus' name, no one else's. And there's one God. We are all found in our Heavenly Father who keeps us for all eternity. And so the Christian church is one body, no matter where the congregations are, be it here, be it the other side of the world in New Zealand, it doesn't matter. God is present with all of us throughout this creation, and he is, Paul says, over all, through all, and in all. And when he looks at his church, he wants to see us treating each other in a way that builds unity and allows people to feel they belong. And a key part of this belonging, the Lord Jesus says, is belonging to a local church. So the challenge for us then is to assess ourselves and the way we treat others against the qualities that we've read in the Bible and that the Bible says should be present in our lives. It's to look at our daily Christian walk and to see how we measure up to God's word, and through the Holy Spirit and our desire to want to mature as Christians, we can ask him to open our eyes to the things that we need to change. I mentioned earlier one of the other things is we can help each other by pointing out things, but we have to be very, very careful when we do so. Robustly helping people to change doesn't often do a lot of good. But sometimes a kind word with a desire to see things improve for a person is just the way to do it. And so Paul would ask us, I think, if he were here today, are we trying to display these qualities in our lives, in our interactions with others? And he'll say, when you think of these, what do you think? When you think of humility, do you think that's something that should be pursued as a real strength, to be humble as a strength? Or do you see it as a weakness? It's an interesting question. Are you gentle and patient with others, Paul might ask? And is your outlook one of love for others as the Lord Jesus loves you? And what if it isn't the case? What if we do have a problem here with the way we sometimes react or some of the things that we've said? What if we have a problem? Well, if it isn't the case, what we should do if we're struggling is go to the one who calls us to be like this and who wants to help us. We need to go to God to start with, to pray to God, to ask him if love is the underwriting emotion for all of this. Ask him to increase our love for each other so that we may, as Paul says, live in this way. Because if love is the underwriting emotion, then the God of love wants you to be flooded with that, as he will help you overcome the things that you may be finding difficult or the people you may be finding difficult. And God will help to keep that unity if people want to be that unity to exist. So let's just, before we quickly move on, summarize the key points in verses 1 to 6. Firstly, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, he creates unity in the body of Christians who make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christians are called to preserve that unity, to show the world around us about the love and the glory of God. And in order that we preserve that unity, we need to make sure that we live a life that's worthy of the calling we have received. And we do this by demonstrating these qualities of humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and love. We show them in our lives and in our actions or interactions with others. This is what Paul is teaching us in these verses. Now, in our remaining verses that we will have to cut short, in them, though, what Paul is doing in verses 11 through or 7 through to 16, Paul is explaining, I suppose, that unity in the church doesn't negate our individuality. So although we are all united by the saving grace of God, verses 7 to 10, we all have different roles to play in the church based on the gifts and the talents that God has given us, verses 11 through to 16 says. And this is where Paul's description of verses 12 to 16 of the Christian church as the body of Christ becomes helpful. Because as our bodies are made up of different parts and different members that all function together in order to help us achieve things, so too is the body of the Lord Jesus. And Christians, as we said earlier, all have different gifts, different abilities, but as we join them together, we become a powerful force as the Holy Spirit works through us and in us. And the God who is always with us directs us. And the church is made up of many different people, all with a role to play. Don't think you don't have a role to play in the church. Jesus has a task for you, and that task is the most important of tasks because it's Jesus's task. And what he wants is people to follow, people to get involved, people to belong, and people to help share his gospel message and to take him and his word to others. And there may be many different gifts that are required in order for that to happen. And God has given each of us our own. If you haven't found your gift yet, if you can't think where to use it, then firstly, I'd suggest praying about that, asking God to open your eyes to the service he has for you. And secondly, talk to the elders in the church. Ask them to help you identify the way forward for you. But one thing is for sure, you will have a gift that God has got and a job that God has for you in the local community church that you're in. And so it's seeking him to find that. And God isn't a slave master. He doesn't want to pile on to your already increased and busy lifetimes. But what he will want to do through the power of his Spirit, if you're willing, is help you to shape your life in a way that you can serve him in the way he wants to, as well as live in the way he wants you to live. And this is, again, all part of wanting to belong to the church. There's a lot in the last few verses that we won't have time to look at. I know you guys probably do them as a Bible study, I think. And so a lot will come out of there. Verses 13 to 16, really, there's a lot in there, but they're there to tell us that we need to bring maturity to the church so that we don't lose our focus, we don't have blurred vision with worldly attitudes, but instead the basis of the growth of the church is love. And it's a reminder by Paul of God's love for each and every one of us and how we need to respond to others in the same way that God has responded to us. So let's close with just a couple of brief applications for what we've read and what we thought about this morning. The first question, I suppose, as we look at this is, from everything we've heard and said and sung today, As you sit there, do you know for sure you're a part of the body of Christ? Are you a Christian? Have you deliberately made that choice to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior and asked Him into your life, asked Him to forgive your sin and tell Him you want to give your life over to Him because you've realized through what He's done to you, for you, just how much He loves you and therefore you want to be with Him and Him alone for eternity? Have you done that yet? Have you made that conscious decision? Because this is what belonging to the Lord Jesus means. And that's the most important thing that you can do. It is the criteria for joining the church and belonging to the church as a whole. But it is belonging to Jesus is what we want to do. If you have been born again by a personal faith in the Lord Jesus, then you are a member of His body. You're a member of the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, then you need to go to Him and need to ask Him, and He will open up the wonders of eternity and eternal salvation to you and will accept you in lovingly and then help you as you want to grow and work and mature in Him. So that's the first one. Secondly, are you active in the work of the church? There's a saying, isn't there? Don't just belong, get involved as well. All Christians, like we said, we all have a role to play. And it's an important role. And it's a role that Jesus wants us to do. It may be different, it will be different. But there will be a role. God has given you gifts to use for Him. God wants you to reach out sometimes beyond our comfort zones, but just to share with others as well. But God has a role for you, whatever that role is. The important thing is that we don't do nothing and just ignore that gift or let it go to waste. And then thirdly and finally, are you striving to develop these qualities the Bible says are necessary in our lives in order that we belong to church and we let others feel that they belong as well? Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and love. Do we show these to others? Amen. We're just going to sing one more hymn. It's All I Once Held Dear. As I was looking through Mission Praise, frantically trying to find a hymn with church in it and not really managing, I came upon this one and it occurred to me that in all we're saying, if we want to be devoted to Jesus, be devoted to all these things, we'll need to be devoted to Jesus. This is a prayer, really, if you want to use it as such, to affirm your love for the Lord Jesus and affirm how important He is in your lives. Thank you.